Good afternoon. It's February the 27th, 2019, and I am, here in Little Saigon. It's Wednesday afternoon. Well, not technically. It's not even noon yet. It's 2 minutes to. I'm still looking for work, still looking for a job, still looking for a way to make money. Still getting weird emails from people that I just don't know how to interpret, but definitely push all the right buttons. So I don't know. I'm here in Little Saigon. I don't know. It's a tough one for me. It's a tough one figuring out how I'm going to figure out a way through this world. I'm looking up a name on the internet. Let's see. Holy crap. Usually this stuff jumps out at you. Okay. So Amelia Earhart died in 1939, the same year that the Nazis invaded Poland. That was a really good year, 1939. Anyways, I was listening to Dane Wigington, and I should stop. I gotta say, I should stop. But it sucks you in. It's just, you know, there. I don't know. I know he's serious and I know he's sincere. But if you're at all turned on, I shouldn't say turned on. If you're at all, God, what's the right word for this? If you suffer from Schadenfreude, as I do, or in general suffer from a morbid curiosity about the inevitability of both self-destruction and cultural decay, then, yeah, listening to Dane Wigington can massage that part of your dark soul. It's pretty terrible because as I listen, I keep hearing him say we have to do something, but at the very same time, it sounds like it, even if we did something, it's all pretty much doomed. And as you know, I want to have a t-shirt that says not all are doomed because I think that's my motto now. Not all are doomed, okay? You know, if I wrote a book about how to, you know, figure this life out and succeed in life, the title of my book would be Not All Are Doomed. You know, just because many are doomed and many are, I think that's true. Many are doomed. Not all are doomed. That's kind of the thing. I know it's hard. I mean, it applies in death as well, right? Christ died on the cross. Everybody can make it to heaven. Doesn't mean everybody will. Everyone can get to heaven. But again, it's can and not will. It's can and not you will be there. So not all are doomed and everyone can. And this is important to remember in life, you know? So I was listening to this, you know, Mr. Wigington, and he's, again, I think he's a good guy, sincere guy. But he's talking about the Larsen A and Larsen B ice shelves in Antarctica. And I was thinking about Antarctica. You know, Antarctica is a spooky place. No matter how you feel about the various conspiracies that define reality, I don't really care. Some of you may think the Earth is an oblate spheroid, according to Neil deGrasse Tyson of the Tyson Chicken Fortune. Part of that's false. Tyson Chicken Fortune. Neil deGrasse Tyson of the Colonel Sanders Tyson Fortune. No, his last name is Tyson. Probably no relation to Tyson Chicken, probably. You never know, though. I'm sure I just started a conspiracy. I'm sure Snopes had just woke up, said, holy fuck, what did that guy say? Yeah. But yeah, you know, Antarctica is a spooky place because it's connected to lies. Here's the thing. I don't care what you want to say about all of the crazy theories people have about the world. Conspiracy theories are a real thing. District attorneys work in them all the time. Prosecutors do them all the time. I've said this before. There's actual law like RICO, Racketeering and Corrupt Organizations Law. Actual people that get prosecuted using laws like RICO based 100% on the general epistemological truth of the conspiracy theory. So yeah, before we all just sort of do that, let's just say that, get out of the way. But the problem is when you lie to people, and there's a lot of lying, and I don't know why. I mean, here's the thing about dark secrets. They're usually not hiding something good, okay? Yes, a surprise party is a kind of conspiracy theory, conspiracy situation. And if you're the target of a surprise party, you're being messed with. And maybe even in some cases, you're suffering from low-level gaslighting. Like maybe your parents, you know, not your parents, whoever. Maybe whoever threw you the surprise party is really messing with you for the goal of making you happy. But that's still a conspiracy, as we have discussed in the past. I have a prior podcast where I deal with this, you know, specifically. Antarctica smells because there's a lot of lying, and lying creates a general impression that something not so great is happening. So people will think about Antarctica and they'll think, holy crap, what could it be? One crazy ass theory, which I don't really agree with, but I'm not going to beat people up for, is the flat earth. People say, holy crap, what if Antarctica is the edge of the world? And that's why nobody gets to go there. And that's why there's so much smoke and mirrors bullshit. And that's why all of these countries, including countries on the verge of nuclear war during the height of the Cold War, signed treaties to protect Antarctica. It all makes sense. I mean, supposedly, we can go to Mars one day and live on Mars, but we cannot really live in Antarctica. It's just too crazy dangerous. I mean, we will pollute and destroy in these really horrible ways the one Pacific Ocean we have with Fukushima and other kinds of bullshit. We destroy and we pollute left and right, but Antarctica cannot be touched. It's cold as fuck, and it's dark as fuck, and it cannot be touched. Who would want to touch it? This is the thing. The reason why Antarctica stinks is because Antarctica isn't sexy. I can't imagine, based on the pictures I've seen, that there are long beaches with beautiful women. I'm sorry. Based upon what they've told us, it doesn't look like a vacation paradise. So Antarctica doesn't really appeal to you based upon how it's described. It's cold and dark and miserable, and there's not a lot to eat. And because of the cold, it's kind of a desert, so there's really not a lot to drink unless you have a way to heat ice. And even then, even if you can heat the ice, guess what? Go see the other point about there not being a lot to eat. So Antarctica's weird because it's not like the really nice pie that your parents make for you, or whatever they make. Your mom makes a pie, not for you. That was a Freudian slip, a Freudian thievery. But yeah, your mother's making pie for Thanksgiving, and you're hungry. And you know that you shouldn't steal it, because it's being saved for Thanksgiving, but you know that if you took just one slice, the pie would still cool, and there'd still be pie for other people. Hold on. So, if you don't want to know or not, I just got a call from that number that I accidentally gave my number to when I clicked on the link on Zero Hedge for the $90 an hour from home. And, yeah, I'm banned from Zero Hedge, but I'm still getting calls from the $90 an hour from home bullshit. Fuck, this is so ridiculous. Anyways. Antarctica doesn't look like the nice, you know, apple pie. It doesn't look tasty. It doesn't look appealing. It's cold as fuck, okay? It's hard to get fresh water without heating it, and there's nothing to eat. And I've even been told, supposedly, the oxygen level's a little different there. I don't know if that's true, but I've been told that. So in general, it just sounds like a terribly cold and shitty and nasty place, where there might be penguins and maybe some ancient artifacts a la Lovecraft, the mountains of madness, The mountains of madness. Yes, yes, yes. Lovecraft. It's actually just the mountains of madness. But for a reason, I wanted to say at madness. Anywho, that's a story by Lovecraft about people going to Antarctica and finding some ancient civilization of truly fucked up bullshit, and the Shoggoth or whatever being this mutable amoeba thingy that, John Carpenter in his own version of The Thing reinterpreted, blah, 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 blah. The Thing, John Carpenter, I think 1982, great movie, one of the best sci-fi movies of all time. Also, kind of a Cliff Notes version of At the Mountains of Madness, in a way, different, but similar. Antarctica, yeah, so if you've watched the movie The Thing by John Carpenter, you don't say to yourself, fuck, I really want to go to Antarctica because if I get really fucking hungry and thirsty and I don't want to fucking die, I might be all reckless and open up a spaceship that leads to a Shoggoth that swallows me up whole and mutates into me and then goes and screws my ex-wife. Yeah, Antarctica does not look cool. So it's one of the weird things. Whenever I hear people talking about Antarctica, even the conspiracy people, the crazy people, right, the weirdos, I get curious because it looks and appears to be a very desperately desolate and cold place, and those types of places have never really appealed to me. Like, the desert's kind of cool. I like the desert, and you know, it can get cold in the desert, but here's the thing. But deserts are also dangerous, right? Well, Antarctica is like one giant frozen desert, if you believe what we're told. And that's the problem. You know, why are people so attracted to this place? Well, in part because it's so stupid. You've got all of this apparent secrecy. You've got all these celebrities who seem to need to go there periodically. Why they need to go to Antarctica, I have no idea. You know, a lot of mythology about the Nazis around Antarctica, around secret Nazi bases, New Scheibenland bullshit. You know, I don't know if it's true or not. Were the Nazis interested in Antarctica? Yeah, they were interested in that place. Everybody was. You know, our own Admiral Byrd was going down there and pooping in Antarctica and marking his spots like a good French bulldog would on the frontiers of Antarctica. And that's a hard thing to say, too. Say it 10 times in a row. Antarctica, Antarctica, Antarctica. It starts sounding like some sort of madness. Okay? But needless to say, it doesn't look appealing. But yet, all of these people, the Nazis, fucking, you know, probably even, I don't know, Indiana Jones went to Antarctica. I know it's a make-believe person, but probably one of the best Indiana Jones movies that was never made would have been the one in Antarctica, where, you know, it would be Indiana Jones and the frozen castle or pyramid or some fucking shit like that. Indiana Jones and the ancient labyrinth. There you go. I just made you a movie, Hollywood. Give me a call. Indiana Jones and the Ancient Labyrinth. He breaks out of his retirement facility, assisted living facility, for one last adventure. And it's set in Antarctica. And you can set it in the 1970s for that whole time delay bullshit, because it's all fucking backwards in time bullshit. And you can make it all disco. And holy fuck, you know? Yeah, you can go places with this, Hollywood, Indiana Jones, and the frozen labyrinth. And the whole thing starts out with him escaping from an assisted living facility, but making it all funny and hijinks, like it's sort of like a redux of the original Indiana Jones, where he's escaping from that jungle, frickin' castle, whatever, jungle tomb, temple bullshit. Yeah. Anywho, with a boulder chasing him, but in this case, a very large, instead of the boulder rolling after him, you'd have a very large woman in one of those easy-go riders, you know, going down the hallway at 50. And then Indy breaks out, and he's discoing his way a la 1970s music and couture to Antarctica to see what the fuck's going on. You see, this is my point. It all sounds nice, but it's still creepy as fuck. What I know about Antarctica, if I'm to believe the official reality, is that periodically people of importance go there. That there are massive treaties to protect its ecosystem. It apparently doesn't have much of an ecosystem. It's basically a big frozen desert. There's weird frozen lakes or deep lakes, not frozen, actually liquid lakes under Antarctica. I think one's like Lake Vostok or something. And the Russians have been drilling into that lake for years. An ancient trapped body of water underneath a lot of ice and other shit. Liquid where it's at, so warm enough to be liquid. 20 million years isolated, if you're to believe the fucking Russians, right? 20 million years isolated subterranean lake of blind fucking fish, you know, eyeless fish probably. They can't see. Blind fish. Blind monsters with tentacles. You don't know. 20 million years is a long time. And if I'm to believe half the nonsense that the hyper-Darwinians want to express to me in their disdain of God and whatnot, then fuck 20 million years is a long time. Who the hell knows what you get out of that lake? This is a matter of public record, not the tentacle monster, but there is this lake, and the Russians have drilled into it. So what we know about Antarctica, every once in a while some adventurer who has a weird connection to the Masons or the British Royal Society, yeah, every once in a while some dude will ski and bisect part of Antarctica and say, I just skied across Antarctica. Yeah, that will happen every once in a while. But for the most part, if you're everyday schmuck, you gotta be rich as fuck and know the right people to get a chance to go to Antarctica. But it doesn't have any fucking beaches, really. It's cold as fuck. There's really nothing to eat there. And unless you have a source of energy, you're not drinking any water. You're just freezing to death. So yes, I get a little bit caught up in this question. And it does occur to me that a lot of these weird conspiracy theories are probably mostly the result of lying. You know, you get lied to enough about something, it's just sort of like, what the hell? So here's my what if, okay? Dane Wigington talks a lot about the runaway greenhouse, and it's horrible. If it's true, if we are really almost in a runaway greenhouse effect, like the case of where massive amounts of methane are being released and it's all being covered up by global geoengineering, if that's true, if all of what Dane Wigington says is true, it's pretty freaking horrible. But one of the fringe benefits of this terrible thing is it's melting the ice in Antarctica. And what if this ancient civilization of super technology and supermodels and super sports cars and super yachts is just laying there, you know, frozen right now, just beyond the reach of billionaires? But if it melts, it's there. And all of a sudden, you have this massive piece of property. And this is the thing. It could be this huge, gigantic continent, A. B, it could be filled with super technology. And C, the rich people might know that the gig is up, that they screwed things up. It was a little bit of nature, a little bit of them, a little bit of country, a little bit of rock and roll. They fracked and they juiced. And they ruptured and they messed up the earth just enough that the earth is about ready to go, kafloopsie itself, and the pole's going to shift, and all of a sudden Antarctica, which is in the wrong spot, will flip to a nicer spot, and they will be there. They will have their magical freaking little, you know, homes dug into the mountains of the super technology, and the ancient ones will have all their libraries, they'll be able to translate, and yeah. I don't know. I mean, this is the thing. What if they want to heat up the earth? This is so messed up. But if you're being lied to, A, and B, the people lying to you have all the appearance of being sociopaths and terribly shitty human beings, then as crazy as this sounds, and it is crazy, as insane as this sounds, and wait a minute, when did Amelia Earhart die? She disappeared. 1937. So why did they say 39? Whatever. I don't even want to check this out. When did she die? Fuck that Amelia Earhart bullshit. One thing, Google. Okay, good job, Eric Schmidt. It was either 37 or 39. Yeah, there'll be one right answer, Eric. Fucking Eric. Anyways. Okay, so Amelia Earhart disappears 1937. When does Elvis die? Let's take a look at this. Elvis, I think he was 77. Was he not? Elvis Presley. Fuck. Yeah, there we go. 1977. No asterisk. That Mandela effect bullshit might be real. But yes, Amelia Earhart disappears. 1937. 40 years later, Elvis is dead. 1977. I will tell you something. The number 40 shows up a lot in the Bible. 40 days, 40 nights, 40 weeks. I mean, a lot of things. There's a lot of 40s in life. Okay? According to this, he was 42, right? When he died, cause of death, heart attack, whatever. I used to be told it was a kind of suicide, Mandela effect bullshit. Who the fuck knows? Heart attack. 42. Answer to the Universe in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. 42. So yes, there are a lot of 40s out there. And so anyways, the whole Antarctica thing is messed up. And I have a hard time. You know, I have a hard time judging people who come up with crazy theories because they're being lied to. You're being lied to. You know, it's entertaining to try to figure that shit out. But this whole, like, you know, the worse it gets with the melting and the more that the... It appears that there's like a kind of a positive correlation between the rate of melt of the Antarctic ice and the number of, you know, superstars and celebrities that want to take a trip, a random fucking trip. You know, I'm General Jumbulus. I'm Senator, you know, con artist. I'm Congresswoman from the Outer District of Harlem. And I'm going to Antarctica. What the fuck are you going there for? What's there to see? I mean, I don't know if Jay-Z has been to Antarctica yet, but I bet he goes at some point. And then he's all smiley. He says, guess what? It's all going to be okay for me. You know, it's going to be okay for me. I've got a place next to the ancient library. Oh, my God. Yeah, Amelia Earhart. I thought it was 37 that, you know, was her date of death. But then again, maybe some researcher proved that she lived two more years. I don't know. Maybe she did. Maybe she didn't. But still, our good friend Elvis Presley, 1977. That's a terrible situation. He was 42 years old. Elvis. The king, right? Is he going to stay the king? Or here's the thing. When you think about all of the backlash against white culture, and yeah, I don't know how this is linked to Antarctica, but who cares? The Elvis thing is funny because Elvis is, as you know, he's cool. And yeah, obviously his music was influenced by a lot of, you know, African-American blues and jazz and rockabilly and other stuff. I mean, clearly he was influenced. Muddy Waters, whatever. Fuck you. But also, Elvis is as white bread as you get. He's got that white bread look and the white bread eyes. And yeah, he's pretty fucking white bread. It doesn't even matter if you found out he was half black. Elvis has the appearance of being kind of a, you know, good old boy, white bread, fucking Dukes of Hazzard bullshit. I wonder when they're going to kill Elvis. And I mean when they're going to set his memory on fire. I wonder when they're going to publish the dirty little secrets of Elvis. I know it's coming. I know it's more likely I'll find out about him and his issues than I will ever know shit about Antarctica. You know? But yeah, the Secrets of Elvis coming soon. That's the thing. You know, it's one of those interesting features of living in a kind of tyranny, is that one of the things tyrannies do is periodically they even sacrifice the ancient ones. You know, they even take a memory from the past, a picture from the wall, and pull it down and burn it. It's what tyrannies do. It doesn't matter if they call themselves communist or Nazi or fucking this new agey Federal Reserve banker, military industrial complex, big pharma tyranny we have here in the United States of America. Whatever it is, they always love to do this. They like to take something from the past that people still give a shit about and set it on fire. It appeals to the tyrant. It is a kind of power play. It's in many ways, it's the ultimate power play to delete the past. And that behavior is not new. I mean, is it easier today to do that? I don't know. Some ways I think it's easier. Some ways I think it's harder. If everybody puts their books on Kindle, then I think it gets easier. If people are willing to, like, hijack copies of stuff so it doesn't get edited out of existence, then maybe it's harder. But I really don't know. It's a battle. It always has been. Antarctica is a mystery because of no good reason. It is a mystery because of power, because the people in charge of the world have, for the most part, decided that there's a part of the world that we just don't, in general, have a right to see. And it would make a lot less, it would make more sense to me if it was a tiny island someplace with some truly beautiful ecosystem that could not be disturbed. But it looks to be a giant frozen wasteland. So the argument that we're going to step on the wrong little clam, it doesn't really seem to work. You know? It really doesn't. What the fuck is going on in Antarctica? Why is it people periodically of some fame go there to visit? And God knows how many other people. I mean, think about it this way. If I'm right about it, like if it's something to be suspicious about, then I'm sure a lot of powerful people go to visit. So imagine how many powerful people have to visit a place before, you know, given the level of security they usually implement, and yet we still know, we still catch a few. It means there must be a lot of people taking a pilgrimage to Antarctica. To get one or two hits in the high security game, I'm sure there's five or six that get through. So for every John Kerry that we catch taking a little flight to Antarctica for some stupid fucking reason, there's probably five or six others. There's probably Lady Gaga and Jay-Z and who the hell knows from the NBA. I don't know who the best basketball player is now, but probably somebody. Probably the Pope. The Pope goes there probably every week now to talk to fucking the ancient fucking tentacle god, who probably gives him advice on what to do next. I mean, who the hell knows what the hell they do in Antarctica? Maybe Hitler's still there. Maybe the Nazis won the war, and that's just where they decided to put their headquarters. Who the fuck knows? Anyways, I will never make it there, probably. I may dream of Antarctica, but I'm stuck here in Little Saigon. And yet there are mysteries even in this place of dread and dampness and Copenhagen nightmares and homeless people. Even in this dark, drab place of convenience marts and six packs of Rainier beer and cigarette dreams. Even in this horrible, dark, and drab place of Seattle, filled with the refuse of the existentially lost, even here, there is mystery. There is mystery, and there is great adventure if you are willing to risk everything. Have a great day.